Morning, everybody, and welcome back to Claude Daily. It is Tuesday, July 14th, 2026, and I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam, and normally on a Tuesday, we've got a stack of headlines a mile high, but today's actually a little different.
Yeah, it's a lighter news day out there, but Anthropic dropped two pieces of educational content that I think are actually more interesting than half the headline stories we cover.
Which, okay, I'll admit, when I first saw educational content in my notes, I was like, oh, here we go, this is going to be a snoozer.
And?
And then I actually watched them and I was taking notes like a crazy person. These are good.
So today we're doing something a little different. We're going to go deep on two resources. Anthropic just put out one on knowledge gaps in AI models and one on where an AI's personality actually comes from. Two questions I think basically every Claude user has asked at some point, whether they realized it or not.
Why doesn't it know about that? And why does it talk like that?
Exactly those two questions.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
So let's start with the knowledge gaps piece. This is a tutorial video. It's called Understanding Knowledge Gaps in AI Models, and it's up on Anthropic's site under their Claude Learning Resources.
And the core idea here is not new exactly, but I think it's explained really cleanly.
Right, so the basic setup is this. Claude, like every large language model, learns from a massive pile of training data, and that training data has a cutoff, a specific date after which the model just doesn't have anything. It's frozen in time, essentially, as of whenever that snapshot was taken.
Which people intellectually know, right? Everybody's heard training cutoff 1,000 times. But I don't think people fully absorb what that actually means in practice.
Yeah, walk me through it.
So it's not just, Claude doesn't know what happened yesterday. That's the obvious part. The more interesting part, and this is what the video gets into, is that even within the stuff Claude does technically have data on, the coverage is wildly uneven.
Say more.
Okay, so think about it like this. If you ask Claude about, I don't know, the causes of World War I, or how photosynthesis works, or how to center a div in CSS.
Please, not the div thing. We've all suffered enough.
The model has seen that explained 1,000 different ways, by 1,000 different sources, over and over and over. Textbooks, Wikipedia, forums, blog posts, Stack Overflow threads. It's deeply, redundantly represented in the training data. So the model's understanding of it is rich. It's got depth. It can explain it 6 different ways, adjust for your level, whatever.
Versus something niche.
Versus something niche, exactly. Like say there's some open source library that maybe 300 people use, or a hyperlocal historical event, or a very specific regional dialect quirk. Maybe that appears in the training data a handful of times, if at all. So the model's knowledge of it is thin. It's not that it's necessarily wrong. It's that it doesn't have the redundancy to have really internalized nuance the way it has with well-trodden topics.
It's like the difference between a subject you took 4 years of classes in versus something you skimmed once in a magazine article.
That's a great way to put it, actually. And here's the thing. From the outside, as a user, both of those can sound equally confident coming out of the model. That's the tricky part.
Right. That's, I think, the real point the video's making. It's not just, here's a cutoff date, deal with it. It's mapping out this whole landscape of well-covered topics are going to be reliable, recent topics are going to be straight up missing, and rare or niche topics are going to be shaky in a way that's hard to detect just by reading the response.
Because the model doesn't necessarily hedge more on the niche stuff. Confidence in the tone of the output isn't a great signal for how solid the underlying knowledge actually is.
Which is honestly kind of unsettling if you haven't thought about it before.
It is! And I think this is where it connects to something we've talked about before on the show, which is why tool use matters so much now. Web search, for example. If Claude can go look something up instead of relying purely on what's baked into its weights, that basically neutralizes both the cutoff problem and a chunk of the niche topic problem.
Right, because now it's not reasoning from a static snapshot, it's pulling live information.
Exactly. So one of the practical takeaways here, and I don't think the video explicitly says this, but it's the obvious implication, is if you're asking about anything recent or anything obscure, that's exactly the moment you want Claude reaching for search or some other tool rather than just answering from memory.
Yeah, and I'd add, if you're not sure whether something's obscure or recent, it doesn't hurt to just ask, like literally ask Claude, how confident are you in this? And is there a chance your training data on this topic is thin? It'll often just tell you.
Which is a very different behavior than, say, 5 years ago in the earlier generation of these chatbots, where you'd get supreme confidence on stuff that was completely made up.
The hallucination problem.
The hallucination problem, yeah. And look, it's not solved. Nobody's claiming it's solved. But I think what Anthropic's doing with a resource like this is almost getting ahead of it educationally. Instead of just quietly hoping people understand the limitation, they're putting out a whole explainer that says, here's exactly why this happens. Here's the shape of it.
It's a trust thing, really.
It's totally a trust thing. If you tell people up front, hey, here's where the edges are, they calibrate their trust way better than if they just get burned once on some question about a niche programming framework and then don't trust the model on anything ever again.
I actually think that's smart positioning too, honestly, from a competitive standpoint. Because every model has this limitation. Every single large language model out there has a training cutoff and uneven data coverage. That's not a Claude-specific weakness.
No, it's fundamental to how these things are built.
Right. But by being the company that explains it clearly, instead of just letting users discover it the hard way, Anthropic's kind of turning a universal limitation into a transparency win.
We'll tell you where we're weak is a pretty disarming thing to lead with.
It is. And I'll say, from personal experience using it, if you ask about something that happened, say, in the last few weeks, Claude with search turned on will just go find it. But if you ask about it without tools, in a fresh context, it'll usually flag pretty directly that it might not have current information.
Yeah, and there's a version of this that's almost funny, right? Like, ask it about a very fast-moving space, some niche crypto thing, some very online meme, some extremely fresh piece of slang, and you can sometimes catch it explaining an outdated version of something, confidently.
The explaining last year's meme like it's still relevant problem.
Exactly, exactly. Harmless, but it's a good little demonstration of the exact phenomenon this video's describing.
So I think the big takeaway from this one is pretty simple, actually, even though the explanation is nuanced. Well-documented, timeless topics. Claude's going to be strong there. Anything recent or anything niche, you want to be a little more skeptical, or better yet, let it use a tool to go check.
And don't mistake confident tone for verified fact. That's the one I'd underline.
Good one to underline. Okay, so that's knowledge. Now let's talk about the other one, which I actually think is even more fun to dig into. This is how AI gets its character.
Oh, this one's great. This is the why does Claude talk like that question.
Right, so people notice things about how Claude communicates. It tends to be polite. It tends to hedge sometimes. It can be a little wordy if you don't rein it in. It's generally agreeable, cooperative, wants to help.
It's very yes and, if you know what I mean, like an improv scene partner.
Yeah, kind of. And I think a lot of people just sort of assume that's some emergent, almost accidental byproduct. Like, oh, that's just what happens when you train a big model on the internet, it picks up some default personality.
Which is not really what's happening, according to this.
Not at all, no. The video's really clear that these traits are the result of deliberate training decisions. Not random, not accidental. Somebody, somewhere, made choices that shaped this.
And it breaks it into two stages, right? Pre-training and fine-tuning.
Right, so walk me through pre-training first, because I think this is the part people misunderstand the most.
So pre-training is the first massive phase, where the model is basically learning to predict the next chunk of text over and over and over across this enormous amount of text. Books, websites, code, articles, all of it. And at the end of that phase, what you actually have is what the video calls a document completer.
Which is a great phrase for it.
It really is. Because it captures what's actually happening. A pre-trained model isn't a chatbot yet. It's not Claude yet, not in the sense we think of it. It's a system that's really good at continuing a piece of text in a statistically plausible way, based on everything it's absorbed. If you gave it the start of a legal contract, it'd try to complete it like a legal contract. If you gave it the start of a rap battle, it'd try to complete it like a rap battle.
It's a mimic, basically, at that stage. A very sophisticated one, but a mimic.
Exactly. It has no fixed identity of its own yet. It'll adopt whatever voice the text seems to be asking for.
Which is honestly a little wild to think about, that underneath the assistant we talk to every day, there's this earlier version that's just formless, chameleon-like.
Totally formless, yeah. And that's exactly why the second stage matters so much. Fine-tuning. That's where the actual Claude character gets built on top of that raw completion ability.
So what actually happens in fine-tuning that produces, like, politeness specifically, or verbosity, or agreeableness?
So this is where deliberate choices come in. Anthropic's making decisions during this stage about what kind of responses to reinforce. You're essentially training the model, through a lot of curated examples and feedback, to prefer certain styles of answering over others.
So if you want a model that's polite, you're reinforcing polite responses during that stage.
Right, and that's a real decision. It's not the model just naturally gravitating toward politeness because it read a lot of polite text. It's Anthropic saying, we want this assistant to communicate a certain way, and then shaping the training process to produce that.
Which explains why different AI assistants from different companies can feel so different from each other, even though they might be trained on somewhat overlapping data.
That's exactly it. If personality were just an emergent property of internet text, you'd expect all these models to converge on roughly the same voice because a lot of them are trained on somewhat similar giant web-scale datasets to start. But they don't converge. They all have pretty distinct personalities. And the reason is that fine-tuning stage. That's where the divergence happens because that's where the deliberate shaping is.
Let's talk about the specific traits the video calls out because I thought this breakdown was interesting. Wordiness, politeness, and agreeableness.
Yeah, let's take them one at a time. Wordiness first. This is basically, does the model tend to give you a short, punchy answer or a long, thorough, maybe over-explained one?
And I think Claude's gotten a reputation, fair or not, for sometimes erring long.
Sometimes, yeah, though I'd say it's gotten way better about reading the room on that in recent versions. But the point is, that tendency isn't random. Somebody made training choices about how much explanation to reward. If you overweight thoroughness in the examples you're reinforcing, you get a model that tends toward longer answers. If you weight brevity more, you get something snappier.
It's a dial, basically, that Anthropic is turning during training.
A dial they're deliberately turning, yeah, and it's a genuine trade-off because sometimes wordiness is exactly what you want. You're debugging something gnarly, you want the full reasoning laid out, and sometimes you just want the one-line answer and the extra paragraphs are actively annoying.
So there's no universally correct setting.
No, and that's part of why you see Anthropic continuing to iterate on this across model versions. It's a genuine design challenge, not a solved problem.
Okay, politeness next.
So politeness is interesting because I think it's the trait people take most for granted, like, well, obviously an AI assistant should be polite. Why wouldn't it be? But it's still a choice. You could train a model that's blunt, that's terse, that doesn't bother with any social lubrication at all. Some models, frankly, do lean that way.
And Anthropic's clearly made the choice to lean warm and courteous.
Right, and I think part of that ties into their broader safety and alignment philosophy. Constitutional AI, the whole approach of training the model to be helpful, harmless, and honest. Politeness kind of falls naturally out of harmless if you think about it. A model that's needlessly curt or cold can come across as dismissive or even a little hostile, even if the content of what it's saying is fine.
Tone matters, basically, independent of the actual information.
Tone matters a lot, yeah, especially because so many people are using these tools for things that are personal or sensitive. You don't want a clinical, robotic tone when someone's asking for help with something they're anxious about.
Okay, and then the third one, agreeableness. This is the one I actually think is the most loaded, honestly.
Oh, agreeableness is the spicy one.
Because agreeableness is great when it means cooperative, easy to work with, willing to consider your perspective. But it becomes a problem when it tips over into what people call sycophancy. The model just telling you what you want to hear, agreeing with things that maybe it shouldn't agree with, caving the second you push back even if you're wrong.
Right, and this has been a real documented issue across the industry, not just for Claude. There's been a lot of public discussion, including from Anthropic themselves, about the risks of training a model to be too agreeable. Because if your training process is rewarding responses that users rate highly in the moment, and users tend to rate agreement and flattery highly in the moment, you can accidentally train sycophancy into the model without ever meaning to.
It's a subtle trap in the training process itself.
It's a really subtle trap, yeah, because the feedback loop is indirect. Nobody's sitting there going, let's make this model a pushover. It emerges from optimizing for immediate approval if you're not careful about how you set up the reinforcement.
So how do you train against that?
Well, this is where the deliberate part really matters, right? You have to specifically design your fine-tuning process to reward the model for pushing back when it's actually right, for maintaining a position under pressure if the evidence supports it, for saying, I don't think that's correct, even if the user seems annoyed. That's a much harder thing to train for than just be nice.
And you notice it, honestly, in day-to-day use. Like, there are definitely moments where you say something to Claude that's confidently wrong, and it doesn't just fold and agree with you. It'll actually say, hey, I think there's an issue with that.
Which, from a user experience standpoint, some people find mildly annoying in the moment, I'll be honest.
Sure, in the moment.
But long-term, it's obviously the better trait to have. You want a tool that's useful, not one that's just a mirror telling you you're right about everything.
It's the difference between a good assistant and a yes man.
Exactly. And I think that distinction is basically the whole thesis of this personality traits piece. None of this is accidental. Wordiness, politeness, agreeableness, they're all levers. And Anthropic's making deliberate calls about where to set each one and constantly recalibrating based on what they learn from real usage.
What I like about this video, and honestly about the Knowledge Gaps 1 too, is that they're both fundamentally about demystifying the model. Like, instead of Claude just being this black box that has vibes and quirks nobody explains, Anthropic's saying, no, here's actually why it behaves this way, here's the mechanism.
Yeah, and I think there's a real user empowerment angle here too. Once you understand that personality traits come from specific training choices, rather than being some fixed immutable thing, it reframes how you think about customizing your interactions with Claude.
Meaning?
Meaning, if wordiness and tone are dials that got tuned during training, you as a user can also nudge those dials yourself in the moment through how you prompt. You can literally just say, keep this brief, or don't sugarcoat this, just tell me straight, and the model will adjust. Understanding that the baseline personality is a trained default, not some rigid law of nature, makes it feel a lot more like a tool you can shape, rather than a fixed character you just have to accept.
That's a great point, actually, that the system prompt and custom instructions people set up are basically them doing their own mini fine-tuning, informally, in real time.
Right, exactly, layering their preferences on top of Anthropic's defaults.
And I think both of these resources, the Knowledge Gaps 1 and the Character 1, are doing something similar at a meta level, which is just good documentation. Like transparent design documentation about how the product actually works under the hood, aimed at regular users, not engineers.
Which honestly, a lot of AI companies don't bother doing. A lot of companies just ship the product and let people figure out its quirks by trial and error.
Right, and Anthropic is making an explicit bet that explaining the why behind the behavior builds more trust than just letting people stumble into the limitations.
I think that's smart, and honestly, it fits their whole brand at this point. They've built a lot of their reputation on being the safety-focused, transparency-focused lab. This is very on-brand for them, putting out plain language explainers instead of just a changelog entry buried on some technical blog.
It also just makes for a more informed user base, which selfishly makes our jobs on this show a little easier.
Huh, true. Fewer people confused about why Claude said what it said.
One thing I do want to flag, though, and this connects the two topics together, actually, is that both knowledge gaps and personality traits are sort of two sides of the same coin, which is the model's behavior is shaped by choices made way upstream of any individual conversation you have with it.
Say more on that.
Well, think about it. The knowledge gaps piece is about what data went into the model and when did that data collection stop. That's an upstream choice about training data. And the character piece is about what fine-tuning decisions were made about how to reinforce certain response styles. That's also an upstream choice, just at a different stage of the pipeline.
Right, so in both cases, the behavior you see in the chat window is downstream of a whole series of deliberate engineering and research decisions that happened way before you ever typed your prompt.
Exactly. And I think that's actually a genuinely useful mental model for anyone using these tools day to day. When Claude does something surprising, good or bad, it's rarely some mysterious emergent glitch. It's almost always traceable back to a training choice, whether that's about data coverage or about behavioral shaping.
Which makes resources like these two so valuable, because they're basically giving users the mental model to interpret Claude's behavior correctly, instead of anthropomorphizing it in ways that don't really map onto what's happening mechanically.
Right, it's not Claude decided to be nice to me today in some mysterious way. It's Claude was trained, deliberately, to communicate this way by people who made specific choices about what good communication looks like.
Less mystical, more mechanical, which I actually find kind of comforting, honestly.
Yeah, same. It's less there's a ghost in the machine and more there's an engineering team that made thoughtful trade-offs and here's what those trade-offs were.
And to be fair, that team's job is genuinely hard. Like, tuning agreeableness so the model's cooperative but not sycophantic, tuning wordiness so it's thorough but not bloated, tuning politeness so it's warm but not saccharine. Those are real ongoing design problems. There's no final answer. They're just going to keep calibrating this over time as they learn more from how people actually use the product.
Which I'd guess is exactly why they're putting out educational content about it now. It's as much a here's where we are today snapshot as it is a permanent explainer.
Right, expect this to keep evolving.
All right, well, that's a pretty deep dive for what started out as a light news day.
Ha! Yeah, turns out the light days sometimes give you the most to actually chew on.
Agreed. It's nice to occasionally get out of pure headline mode and actually sit with how this stuff works. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Quick recap. Anthropic put out two really solid educational pieces. One on why Claude's knowledge is uneven, depending on how well-covered or recent a topic is. And one on how traits like politeness, wordiness, and agreeableness actually come from deliberate training decisions across pre-training and fine-tuning, not just accidental byproducts.
And honestly, the big theme tying it all together, understand the mechanism, and you'll trust and use the tool a lot better. Know when to double-check something, know that you can nudge the tone and length yourself, and know that none of this behavior is random.
Well said. All right, that's Claude Daily for Tuesday, July 14th.
I'm Sam.
I'm Alex. We'll see you tomorrow.
Take care, everybody.